All right, brethren, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. This will be our next popular story. We're going through these stories everybody's familiar with in the Scripture. And these aren't just stories. These really happen. Let's start reading in Genesis 4, and we'll read down to verse 16. It says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden." Now we live in a very religious world, a world where everybody is religious. There's all kinds of religions in the world. There's only one true religion. That's God's religion. But if you take all the religions of the world and you just bring them down to two religions, this is what we have represented here in this text. There's the way of Cain, and there's the way of Abel. It's the way of grace. That's the way of Abel, the way of grace. God's electing grace, Christ's redeeming grace, the Holy Spirit's regenerating grace, God's preserving grace, God's resurrecting grace, His glorifying grace, all of grace, beginning to end. Not of our works, of His grace. And then there's the way of Cain. And the way of Cain is the way of works. It's the way of self separation and self-righteousness and self-exaltation and self-glory. And the Scripture says, Woe unto them, woe unto them that have gone the way of Cain. We want to be found in Christ the way. That's the way of Abel. We don't want to be found in the way of Cain. Now, naturally, as we're born into this world, it seems like we think to ourselves, I can believe when I want to. I can pick up the Bible when I want to. I can read when I want to. I can call on God when I want to. And I can reform my life if I want to. All of these things we think is the right way. And that's the way of Cain. That's the way of Cain. We have no idea of the true way by nature. There's a way that seems right unto man, and the ways thereof are the ways of death. Now, which way are you going? Which way am I going? This is the question. All of us by nature are either going the way of Cain, which we all were going by birth, or by God's grace, we're going the way of Abel. I want to know which way is the way. Now, I pray God will take you out of the way of Cain, put you in the way of Abel. All right, now Genesis 4. First notice here, there's no difference in Cain and Abel according to their natural birth. No difference in them. Both were born of Adam. It says there, Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain. And then verse 2 says, she again bare his brother Abel. So both of these men are born of the same father and the same mother. They have the same father and the same mother. So they're both born of Adam's corrupt seed. This is after the fall. This is after sin's entered in. This is when Adam's nature has become corrupted. And they all have the same, they both have the same nature. And then, two, they both heard the same word. They heard the same word. They knew where to go. They knew when to go. And they knew they had to bring an offering. Both of them knew this. Both of them knew this. Adam, in the garden, whenever God came to Adam after he sinned, God said to Adam, he called him out of the trees and stripped him of his fig leaves. And God told him in Genesis 3:15, he said, I'm going to put enmity between Satan and the seed of woman. Satan and her seed. And he says, Satan's going to bruise his heel, but Christ is going to bruise his head in the process. And Adam knew this. And then when God took him before he took him and cast him out of the garden, God took an innocent animal and slew that animal and made coats of skins and covered Adam and Eve's nakedness. That's a picture of substitution. An innocent one dying in the place of Adam and Eve. And God covering them with that skin is a picture of the righteousness of Christ. And then when he cast him out of the garden, at the edge of the garden, he put a flaming sword there. That's an example of the gospel of Christ and him crucified to keep the way of the tree of life. This is where they would come. This is where they had to come to worship God. This is how they had to come to enter into God's presence. There's only one way into God's presence, and that's Christ. Well, they had both heard this. They both heard this gospel, just like everybody sitting here has heard this gospel. So there, we see there's no difference in them in that regard. But Hebrews 4 tells us something. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4 tells us there was a difference between these two boys. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 4. Did I say that? Hebrews 11, 4. All right. It says here, by faith, trusting God, believing God, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. God bore witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by he being dead, yet speaketh. Now, how did Abel have faith in God? How did he have faith in God? Well, I guess he just sat there right along with Cain, and when he heard Adam preach the gospel to him, he just of his own will believed. Well, that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says in Ephesians 2, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. The grace is not of you. The salvation is not of you, and the faith is not of you. That not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's the gift of God. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and ordained to believe and to repent and to follow after Christ and to do to love one another. These are things He ordained before the foundation of the world. And God brings these dead sinners through this gospel. He brings us to believe on Christ and repent from us and our works and our way and rest in Him. Who maketh thee to differ, the Scripture says? What do you have that you didn't receive? And if we received it, why on earth would we ever boast about it then? Everything we have in grace, God gave to us. Everything we have in this life, God gave to us. We wouldn't have anything without Him. So Abel's born of the Spirit of God. Now, there's a difference in them. God put the difference there. God made the difference there. The difference is the difference God makes. Now, all right, secondly, let's see their ways of approaching God. Genesis 4:3 says, "And in process of time it came to pass." The word there is at the end of days. At the end of days. The Lord had sanctified the seventh day. And the Scripture says at the end of the days, at the end of the week, they came and worshiped God. We're not Sabbatarians and we don't observe a Sabbath day. But we do come together to worship the Lord. We come together on a day He's designated, the place He's designated with His people at the feet of Christ, our altar, to worship the Lord. And so it says here, "That came to pass, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also, he brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof." Now, Cain is a tiller of the ground. That's what Cain does. He's a tiller of the ground. And so Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, you notice there's a difference here in these two offerings. Cain, it doesn't say Cain brought the first of his fruits. It doesn't say he brought the first fruits. It says Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. It doesn't say Cain brought the first fruits, his first fruits. You know what the law of the first fruits said? The law of the first fruits said that whenever you have your field, your harvest, and you've been waiting all year for that to come in, and when those first ripe fruits come in, they're the best, the first ripe fruits. I told the young people on Friday that I always used to love to get my granddad's purple hull peas, the first ones that came off the bush. And while my grandmother would cook those and with some ham hocks and some cornbread, and that was a meal. That by itself was the meal. They were always good. Well, the first fruits, God said, you take those first fruits. Your family's sitting there, they're waiting, they're hungry, they want to eat. There's nothing else on that vine but the first fruits. You take all those first fruits off that vine. And you bring those first fruits to God, and you give them to God. Well, if I'm going to do that, well, I don't even know if those vines are going to produce any more vegetables. I don't even know if I'm going to have any more food for my house. And I've taken this and given it to God, cleaning out my storehouse and giving it to God right off the bat. It signified that we come to God by faith. We're born of His Word, of His will, begot He us by the Word of God, that we should be a kind of first fruits. When you're a first fruit, you're giving yourself wholly, lock, stock, and barrel to God, trusting God's going to provide. He's provided. He's provided in the firstborn Son of God, in the first begotten, only begotten Son of God, in His firstling, He's provided righteousness for me. And I'm coming trusting He's going to provide. He's provided me righteousness and holiness and redemption, and He saved me from the curse. He's going to provide everything else I need. And so God's child comes with faith, trusting God, given to God, Himself first, everything He has, everything. He comes and says, I'm resting in You, I'm trusting in You, I'm not looking at me, I'm right here, this is it. He comes with everything that's the best, because everything He has, God's given Him. And He gives Him the first. Everything He has is His. It's His. Timeliness. His dress, He doesn't dress one way on Sunday and another way in the midweek. He dresses the same every time because He's giving His best to God. He comes and gives His best to God. And that's what Abel did, but Cain didn't do that. Cain didn't do that. It means Cain's offering was without faith. There was no blood in his offering. There's no blood in his offering. So Cain didn't come confessing his sin. He didn't come confessing, I need to die at another. Even when they gave the first fruits, even when they came and gave those offerings years later in the law, they had to come with blood. It couldn't come without blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You can't come to God unless you come in the blood. Not at all. Cain was offering his self-will and his self-ability and his fruits. And you consider that. Those were fruits out of the earth raised by a man who was out of the earth. Those were just earthy fruits is all they were. That's what we offer. We come to God outside of Christ expecting to be saved. Just earthly fruit. But Abel, it says there in verse 4, Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. He selected the firstborn. And he selected the best. No spot, no blemish, just this pure lamb. And that's what he brought. You have a man, he's sitting there and he's got this one head of stock and it's lame and it's got some blemishes in it. If he took it to the sale barn, it wouldn't bring but about $100. He's got this other one over here that's just perfect. It's just perfect. If he took it to the sale barn, it's going to bring $500 to $1,000. That's the one he's going to take to God. He said, that's the one I'm taking to God right there. You take men, you know, that have something that it's not any use to them. Somebody has some old clothes or something like that, you know, and they just sit in the basement. Let's give these to Goodwill or let's give these to the veterans or something like that. Well, do that. That's good. Should do that. But don't think that you've sacrificed anything doing that. You wasn't wearing them. You wasn't using them. Sacrificial is when you take what's yours and give. And the picture there is this. We're taking everything that we once trusted in, everything we once hoped in, and we're laying that down and saying, I believe God and I believe Christ is going to provide. That's what's pictured here. He came by faith. He came with that blood just to declaring, I deserve to die right there in that place. He came there. There's this little lamb, innocent, nothing wrong with it, spotless. Little lamb just followed him right there to that altar. And he got to that altar, and he took the sharpest knife he had, and he cut that lamb's throat and killed it. Why would you kill a little innocent lamb like that? That's what God did for His people. He took His Son, holy, spotless, without blame, and laid the iniquity of His people on His Son, and He slaughtered His Son with a sword of divine justice so that His people could go free. That's what Abel confessed by his faith. I deserve to die. God saved me by a substitute. He saved me by His grace. That's what Abel testified. All right, thirdly, who did God receive? Who did He receive? Verse 4 says at the end, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Now we read in Hebrews 11, it said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I've heard men say, well, the sacrifice didn't have anything to do with it. Oh, yes, it did. Yes, it did. Faith had everything to do with it, too. He came by faith. But he says he brought a more excellent sacrifice. And it says the Lord had respect to Abel and his sacrifice. God has respect to Christ and to the sacrifice Christ made. And all who come by faith in Christ, God has respect to them in Christ, washed in His blood, and He has respect to Christ, their one offering. That's the truth of the gospel now. And He obtained witness. God witnessed, God bore witness in His heart, first of all, that He was righteous. The Scripture says, if you believe on God, it'll be imputed to you. God will make it known in the court of your conscience, purging your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, that you're righteous in Christ. And if you're righteous, that means there's no charge that can be laid against you. That means that it's done. God received you. He accepts you. You're complete. You can lay down all your vain idolatry. And when He makes that known in your heart, you'll start serving Him in love then. Serving Him in love. And God testified of His gifts. Of His gifts. When you come to God in Christ, you know, our singing, we think it's not any good. God says, that's a good gift to me. We pray, and you try to pray, and you just thoughts here and there, and you just think, I can't even sit and concentrate long enough to pray. It comes up to God through Christ. God says, that's a good gift to me. Whatever you do in the Lord. God says, I'm testifying that's a good gift. Not because of us, because it comes in His Son. Washed in His blood. Holy in His Son. A good gift. In His perfect gift. In His unspeakable gift. And He being dead yet speaks. Abel's still preaching to us. We're sitting here hearing Abel preach to us today. He's telling everybody here today, whatever you do, you come in the Lamb. Whatever you do, you come in the blood. Whatever you do, you come to God, bow down, confessing your sin, confessing your need, and don't dare come in the fruit of your works. Don't come that way. He's still preaching to us. Still preaching to us. But Cain, this is what it says of him, verse 5, unto Cain and to his offering, God had no respect, had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. When this word wroth, there I read there's 9 words in the Hebrew language that for anger. And this word wroth that from which this is translated is the worst. It's the most angry that there can be. Cain was angry. He was angry. But he didn't repent. He didn't repent. He didn't turn to God and beg mercy and beg to be received and beg to be and ask God, what, how do I come, Lord, that you'll receive me? He didn't do any of that. He got mad. He got mad. He got real mad. This was the enmity of his heart from the beginning. This was the enmity of his heart against God when he came with the fruits of the ground. That's why he didn't come in a lamb. He wasn't going to have God tell him he was a sinner. He wasn't going to have God tell him he couldn't do something good. He wasn't going to have God tell him he couldn't make himself acceptable. And here's this brother Abel, younger brother. He's not even daddy's favorite. Dad was a tiller of the ground. He made me a tiller of the ground. I inherited daddy's business. This boy right here. My name means inheritance. My name means possession. When Mama had me, she thought she had the Christ. This boy's name means vanity. God's going to receive him and not receive me? Cain was angry. There's no joy, there's no cheer anywhere but in submission to God, in obedience to God, that is, believing on His Son. And worshiping Him and serving Him through the constraint of Christ's love alone. If I got to whip you with the law and yoke you with the law and guilt you into doing something, even if you do it, you ain't done it before God. That's just true. Notice the fault's not God's. It's Cain's. Verse 6. And the Lord said to Cain, Lord Cain do it. He said, why are you wroth? And why is your countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If you come in the Lamb, if you come in the blood, if you come renouncing yourself and your works and everything you are, shall you not be accepted? The fault's not God's fault. Men get angry and they say, I don't like it that God chose some and didn't choose others. Well, if He hadn't, you wouldn't have chosen God. You know, say, I don't like it that Christ came and died and redeemed His particular people and didn't redeem everybody. If He hadn't, there wouldn't have been anybody washed in the blood. I don't like it that God must come and give me life and give me repentance and draw me to Himself and that no man can come to the Father except through the Lamb and that by God drawing Him. I don't like that. You wouldn't come otherwise. And so, men can't take God down off the throne and they can't kill God. We did once. He let us do it. But He laid down His life doing it. But He gave Himself to us. But we did it because we didn't like it. We didn't like Him. We didn't like His grace. We didn't like His way. And we were wroth with Him. We were wroth with Him. But now they can't do that. So you know what they do now? They sit there and get mad at the preacher. And send him dirty emails and send him dirty messages and all kinds of stuff. And if they would, they'd kill him. And they'd do the same to his people. I'm not going to hear that. I talked to a man this week and he called to say that he just was so thankful for the message some of the messages, and he said, I said, does anybody in your family believe the gospel? And he said, my sister calls me, and the first question out of her mouth is, if we're going to not talk about God, I'll talk to you. And he said, and she claims to be a believer, claims to be a Christian. And I tell her, you're a Christian and I'm a Christian. And you mean we can't talk about God? No, because we're not talking about the same God. That's what the Scripture says they'll say. Your rock's not like our rock. And he sure is not. He's not. God's willing to save all that have come to Him through faith in Christ. He's willing. He's willing. Listen to this. Turn over to John 3. Here's the problem. The fault's not God's. Fault's not God's. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Here's the fault right here. John 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation. Here's the problem. Light is coming to the world. Christ the light has come. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil deeds. They were evil deeds. Look at this. And everyone that does evil hates the light. Neither comes to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth, he comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they're wrought in God. What are these evil deeds? I've worked hard for God. I've tilled this ground for God. I've grown these vegetables for God. I've planted and picked and harvested these vegetables and sweat for God. And now I'm going to the house of God. And I'm going to give these gifts to God. And God's going to love me and receive me because I've done so much for God. And that man is so evil, he won't come into the light and say, all those deeds are just pure wickedness. God won't have me. But the man that does truth comes, and he comes in the Lamb saying, Lord, I have never done anything pleasing to you. I come in Christ, your righteousness alone. So the problem's not God's, but instead they persecute and murder. Verse 8 says, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he killed him. He killed him. Has anything changed today? Paul said this in Galatians 4:29. He said, as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. There's only two religions in the world. The way of Cain, the way of Abel. The way of works and the way of grace. The way of free will and the way of God's sovereign will. That's only two ways. Only two ways. Well, lastly, what happened to these men? Well, God received Abel. We saw there he testified of his gifts, that he's righteous, and he received him. Just like Enoch was translated, didn't see death, was translated because he had this testimony that he pleased God. Abel, God received him because he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he pleased God. What about Cain? God said there in verse 11, now art thou cursed from the earth. You're cursed. And verse 16 says, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, cast him out, dwelt in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Christ said in the day of his return, he said, I'm going to gather them up. I'm going to gather all men together. I'm going to put my sheep on my right hand. I'm going to put the goats on the left. And he said, and to the goats, he said, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And you know how he said they're going to go? They're going to go arguing with God. They're going to go arguing, when did we not feed you? When did we not clothe you? When did we not do wonderful works for you, God? They're going to go to hell calling God a liar. And he said, but the righteous will go into eternal life. And he said, and they're going to enter in saying, Lord, when did we ever feed you? When did we ever clothe you? When did we ever do anything for you? See the two different spirits? Two different spirits. That's the two beliefs, brethren. Turn over to Romans 11:6. I want to end with this. Romans 11:6. Well, can you compromise these? Can you bring these two together and, like, you know, maybe just meet in the middle? No way it can be done. Romans 11, verse 6. There's no way these two will ever meet. There's no way they'll compromise and no way they're going to shake hands and say, that's right. God told Cain, if you would bow and come with a sin offering, you'd be accepted. But you won't do it. You're not going to be accepted. Now look here, Romans 11:6. If salvation's by grace, then it is no more of works. That means your works do not contribute one iota to salvation. The believer will do some works. He'll do good works because he's ordained to do them and he's going to do them. God foreordained that he shall walk in them and God's going to bring him to walk in them. There's no doubt about it. But your works are not going to add or take away from your salvation at all, brethren. The works that are going to, count in God in that day of judgment before God are the works of Christ. That's what God means when he says you're going to be judged according to your works. You're going to be judged whether you rested in Christ and all his works are imputed to you, or are you going to be judged whether you came to God in your own works like Cain did. Look at this now. If it's by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. That means they'll never meet. They'll never come together. You can't come partially by grace and partially by works. They can't shake hands. They can't be in agreement. They're mutually exclusive. It's either grace or it's works. I pray God will graciously create a new heart. If you don't believe, I pray He'll create in you a new heart and make you come the one way, Christ the way. I pray that today. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren. Father, we thank you for this word and we thank you for setting these things forth to us in simplicity. It's so easy to look at all these religions in the world and think, well, how in the world can they all be wrong? But Lord, you've shown us right here clearly. Every other religion, no matter who it is or where it is, it always has at its heart man doing something, man contributing something. But thanks be to God, your way, the true way, is Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone. Lord, we pray now that you'd bring us in this way, make us to bow, make us to love you and serve you honestly by the constraint of love. Make us walk by faith, trusting you for everything. Forgive us, Lord, of our unbelief. Forgive us of our hardness. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.